The early stumbling steps on the path to integration into a new society, a new culture, are most often taken in an English language classroom.
Where are you from?
I am from
Thailand.
Thailand.
Good. Ali
in Des Moines, Iowa.
Very good.
Perfect.
Volunteer teacher Diane Cutler is leading class members through rudimentary conversations at Lutheran Services of Iowa in Des Moines. More than half of the students are from Southeast Asia, primarily from the nation once known as Burma, now called Myanmar. It's a predominantly older group. The director of refugee programs at Lutheran Services, Jill Stuker, says they may not even be literate in their native languages.
You know, amongst our group aged 60 and above, the average education level for that group is the second grade. And the majority of those folks don't know how to write their name.
Large numbers of Southeast Asians began flowing to Iowa nearly 40 years ago. The first arrivals were escaping refugee camps in Laos or fleeing communist tyranny in Vietnam. The latest group is seeking sanctuary from the political uncertainty in Myanmar. It's up to agencies such as the U.S. Committee on Refugees and Immigrants and Catholic Charities of Iowa to find them housing and register them for social services during the first 90 days they're here. Resettlement can be a tricky business, especially when translation is involved. And it can also be frustrating for those who are trying to help. The director of the Des Moines office of USCRI, Valerie Stubbs, is standing outside an apartment she rented for a Burmese family of five who landed in Iowa a couple of hours before. The mother and father are unhappy. They thought they would be living with a cousin in Marshalltown.
So they were a little bit frustrated with the fact that they're going to be 40 miles away, but realistically, for us to be able to work with clients that far, it's not good for them either.
Stubbs makes a case for why it would be best for the family to stay in Des Moines. The family rejects the argument and refuses to occupy the apartment for even one night. Stubbs caves in with reservations.
If that's really that important to them that they move there, it will be against our recommendation that they do that, because being close to the office is really important for emergencies.
Stubbs says it's common for uprooted families to crave the security of relatives. Having this degree of comfort, however, doesn't make the transition to the American way of doing things any easier. Some government entities have launched initiatives to assist Southeast Asians as they maneuver through the medical and legal systems. The state's Division of Asian and Pacific Islander Affairs is making healthcare materials understandable in a number of languages. Henny Orr is the executive officer.
I've received numerous calls from community members and service providers saying that the newly arriving refugee community is unable to access healthcare, or the healthcare that they do access is not quality.
And the Des Moines Police Department has an officer who serves as a liaison between Asian residents and law enforcement. His name is Dua Lohr, whose parents immigrated from Laos to Texas when he was 8.
Part of my job is that I say that this country that we live here, it's a new country to us. They got laws that we have to obey and go by.
Even Southeast Asians who think they're prepared for life abroad struggle at first. Sirasi Rodari learned some English at his Catholic school in Thailand before he became an exchange student in Iowa. Over lunch at one of his favorite Thai restaurants in Des Moines, Rodari says he got some help from television to improve his English, using a source familiar to most Americans. What was more difficult for Rodari was overcoming the cultural shock of moving from Bangkok, with its population of around 10 million, to the tiny Powysik County town of Victor, with fewer than 900 residents. Rodari lived in Victor with an uncle, the town doctor. He stayed in Iowa for college. Now he's a vice president at Bankers Trust and a well-known figure in the Southeast Asian community. He's fit nicely into the fabric of life in Iowa. His 31-year-old son, Anthony, was born in Des Moines. He says it was always his goal to simply blend in. As a result, he's very Americanized.
Every time I come home, there's always Thai food, so it's not my food of choice. I like it, but if I could have a hamburger, I'd rather have a hamburger. So,
Anthony Rodari says his biggest challenge while growing up was to fight off preconceived notions about Southeast Asians.
Being able to kind of break that stereotype of what most Asian Americans are, as far as being quiet and timid and being, I guess, the IT geek, if you will. I don't fit that mold.
Anthony Rodari is a second-generation Southeast Asian American who is building a life in Iowa. He owns a condominium in downtown Des Moines and works as a recruiting specialist at Nationwide Insurance. Now the third and even fourth generations of Thai, Laotian, Vietnamese, and Cambodians are settling in. They have an advantage over their parents and grandparents who smoothed the way for them to integrate into a Midwestern state. They, at least, grew up speaking the language. In Des Moines, I'm Rob Dillard, Iowa Public Radio News.